Today is part two of Fresh Wind and Fresh Fire, and you may recall we just explained how Scripture uses words like wind and fire as metaphors of the presence of God. So really what we're saying is, Lord, just a fresh outpouring of your presence, a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, a fresh wind from heaven to blow, a fresh fire from heaven to burn within us as individuals and as a body of believers collectively called Silver Spring Assembly. And you also may recall last week we talked about how we like fresh things, don't we? So yes, the promise of power and the pouring of power and how we need a fresh outpouring of His power and how we like fresh things. Do you prefer fresh fruit or rotten fruit? All right, you may remember two people last Sunday were given a fresh bouquet of flowers. I had some old ones here that I cut from flower plants in front of our home. No one seemed too interested in those, but I had some takers on the fresh bouquet of flowers. We like fresh things, fresh fruit, fresh flowers. We like to wear fresh clothing as opposed to, you know, old, stinky, dirty clothing, right? Well, how about a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit today? Amen? Something from heaven. So we have talked about the promise of power last Sunday, the pouring of power. And we started in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to go right back to Acts chapter 2 today. But you might remember how Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, they were all together in one place. And out of that, we highlighted the truth that unity is not so much about a place in a building, but purpose of heart. Unity in spirit, that our spirits are brought in alignment and in unity with God's Holy Spirit. And verse 2 says, suddenly from heaven. You might recall, if you were here, we talked about how suddenlies never just happen. Suddenlies don't come out of nowhere. For example, the suddenly on the day of Pentecost had a background, a backdrop of obedience and faithfulness. It had a background of 10 days of praying, 10 days of fasting. So yeah, it was suddenly when it happened, but it wasn't a suddenly out of nowhere. And it says suddenly from heaven. And I think we can all agree today, church, we need something from heaven in the day that we live in. Man's philosophies and the things of this earth are not sufficient. We need something from heaven to help us. We need an outpouring of God's Spirit from heaven, afresh and anew upon us today. Now, September, it's hard to believe we're saying that. And by the way, is all of our children ready to go back to school on Tuesday? All right, they're downstairs, they're not here to answer. We'll answer for them. Yes, they're ready. All right. And you might recall also last week, we talked about how God loves to fill His house. We looked at scriptures out of Ezekiel. We looked at scriptures out of Isaiah. We looked in the New Testament, and time again, there are references of how God fills the house. He filled the temple with His glory. He filled the house with His power. And when we transition into the New Testament, we see the veil was torn from top to bottom, and now you and I are the house. Say it with me, I am the house. And God still loves to fill His house. That's you. That's your heart. That's your soul. And He still loves to fill us with His wind and fill us with His fire, fill us with His Spirit, fill us with His power. Amen. Fill us with His presence. God loves to fill His house. And today, you and I are His house. I have here in my hands a letter from Marcus Brooks. Anyone here remember Marcus Brooks? He was a faithful member here for many, many years, and he has since moved to Texas, and he lives in the Dallas area, so I don't think him and his family were affected too much by the storms, but got a letter with a $500 check to missions in it this past week. So I know he has a home church down there now. His pastor is Pastor Scott Wilson. there at the Oaks Fellowship, but he misses here, and he still sends some giving from time to time, and sent 500. Wow. I think what that is some of you are not giving the missions, and right? Anyhow, he sent us $500 and marked that, allocated that to go to our missions giving here. But he had some good things to say to us, and I thought his letter was really fitting for the message last week and today. So Pastor Tucker and Sister Melissa, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a while since we've communicated. First, let me say that I continue to pray for you and your family every day. That was a promise that I made to you, and I'm keeping it. I'm also praying, and here's where we're all going to get involved. I'm also praying, he says, that there will be a powerful move of God's Spirit in the hearts of God's people of Silver Spring Assembly. I pray that the Holy Spirit will just literally take over with a great visitation of His power and presence in every service, and that He will move in the hearts of the leadership, bringing in a great harvest for the kingdom. And I read that and I think that's an amazing work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, He would have absolutely no way of knowing what the ministry of the Word was last Sunday and this Sunday. And I thought as I read that, well, that's fitting, and I want to pass that on and say, yes, Lord, amen, a powerful outpouring of His Holy Spirit on all of us. Amen? So in the last couple of Sundays, the promise of power, last Sunday in particular, the pouring of power. Today, let's pick up and talk about the performance of power. Now, when I say performance, I'm not talking about entertainment or putting on a show. That's not what we're talking about here. But as you and I perform the day-to-day life that we live, our duties, our responsibilities, as we live out our faith, are we performing our lives in the outpouring and in the power of His Holy Spirit? We're going to see here how Peter made a transition, and he began to perform in the power of the Spirit. So last Sunday, we were in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. We're going to pick up today right at verse 14. So you might remember last Sunday we read about it. They fasted, they prayed, they did what Jesus said to do. They were staying in Jerusalem when they would have much preferred to leave. And then on the 10th day after fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit was poured out and they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. And then we see that it sparked curiosity and interest. And a lot of people, they were struck by the fact that these unlearned individuals were speaking in the languages of the nations that had gathered, and they were struck by that. And then, of course, in verse 13, we ended our reading from Scripture last week, where there was some that was even making fun of them and mocking them. And that's where we pick up today in verse 14. So here we go. It's going to be a little shorter message again today, so we have an opportunity to respond to the ministry of the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to be poured upon us today. So here we pick up in verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, so he passes on these words from Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 22, he stops quoting Joel and picks up here with these words, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Now, the reason for God pouring out his power was to empower the church and embolden the believer to proclaim the saving message of Christ to the lost. Now, we just read here some comments from Peter. He's standing before thousands, isn't he? Now, if 3,000 was added to the church that day, who knows how many thousands were gathered? Now, what did I just say to you? That the reason for God pouring out his power was to empower his church and embolden the believers, individual believers, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter just stood before thousands, and in a modern way to put it, was all up in their face. Okay? Along with wicked men, you crucified the Son of God. But death couldn't hold him. It was impossible for death to hold him. Now, why is that significant? Because not too many days before, remember when Jesus had been betrayed, there was just a young girl warming her hands by the fire. And she says, "Hey, aren't you one of them?" "No." And he denied it how many times? 3 times. And the third time, so adamantly, it was with cursing. "I don't even know this." So here he was cowering just a few days earlier in front of one little girl. But now he's in the face of thousands preaching the good news of Jesus, saying, "You crucified him, but death couldn't hold him down." Amen. How many would say that's an experience of being empowered and emboldened? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? So Peter's a prime example of this. And when he stood to preach on the day of Pentecost, he dispelled any and all confusion, didn't he? Okay, maybe you're confused about this, but we're not. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. What are you talking about? They're drunk, right? What's wrong with you, in other words? So when he dispelled any confusion, he dispelled any misunderstanding, and then what did he do? He tapped into what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then there are several verses in there where he quotes Joel. Now, I'm a little confused these days on dreams and visions. I kind of feel stuck in the middle. Your young men will have visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I still feel I have some visions, but I'm starting to dream a little more. I'm stuck in the middle between the young and the old. Come on, who's with me today, right? Now, who wants to confess? You have visions. All right, what about the other side? You're dreaming dreams. All right, you just told on yourself, whether you're old or whether you're young, right? But Peter, what was he doing here? He's stressing that this outpouring, it was the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy from Joel, and it's going to last until the end of time. Now, has time ended yet? No. So, anybody have a watch on? Show me. All right. Have you ever looked at... I left it down. Have you ever looked at your smart device to see what time? We have a clock there, so we're still experiencing time. Right? So that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is God done pouring out a spirit? No, that was only the beginning of the fulfillment. We're somewhere in the middle or before the end of the fulfillment of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, something I note and want to pass on to you in Peter's Pentecost message. And actually, the same format comes out in his first message after the Pentecost message in chapter 2. We've already seen some of it, and as we go through the rest of his Pentecost message in Acts chapter 2, we're going to see the rest of this six-part pattern, if you will, for the proclamation of the gospel. I don't have these prepared for you on the screen if you want to write these down. This is the pattern. His first message at Pentecost and the first one after that, it's the pattern we see for the proclamation of the gospel. And there's six parts to it. Number one, Jesus is Lord and Christ. And with that, he is the crucified, resurrected, and exalted one. Okay? Number two, Jesus Christ is right now at the right hand of the Father with the authority to pour out the Holy Spirit on all believers. That's number two. Number three, one must place his or her faith in Jesus as Lord and repent and be baptized in connection with forgiveness of sins. We're going to see that in just a few moments. Number four, believers should expect the gift of the Holy Spirit after faith and repentance. And the fifth part of this pattern of Peter's preaching and the proclamation of the gospel is after being saved from this perverse generation, the believer must separate himself. The believer must separate herself from this world. Okay, after Christ, and after you receive Christ and the Holy Spirit, yes, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Our lives are now marked with God's character and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and walking in the truth of His Word. Amen. I only have one agreeing with me today. You fell asleep. Wake up. We've got to separate ourselves from this world. And the sixth part of the pattern is that Jesus Christ will return and completely restore God's kingdom. Now, I don't think we can overstress verse 21 enough, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Hare Krishna, not self, come on, not anyone else. Listen, has Buddha, has Muhammad, have you laid down for yourself your life and shed blood to save you? No one else has done that. Only Jesus did that. So I think only Jesus, we need to get this into our system. Only Jesus, we've got to get it into our belief. Only Jesus, we need to get it into our behavior. Only Jesus, we need to get it into our faith. Only Jesus, we need to get it into our values. Only Jesus, we need to get it into all of our being. This is how we get to heaven. This past Monday, I had an interesting experience. I serve as the vice president of the PTA board at Rosa Parks Middle School, where my daughters go to school. And one of the things that we've done as an executive board of the PTA is the week before school, if you're in the school system teaching or whatever, you know you got to go back the week before. So we just like to go back with a little goodie card and something to drink to say, hey, welcome back. We wish you a great year this year. So here I am wheeling my little goodie cart through Rosa Parks this past Monday, giving out some goodies and some drinks to the teachers and the staff at Rosa Parks Middle School. And we roll into one room, and I have all three of my children with me, and I announce myself, hi, I'm Robert, blah, 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 Tucker. And the teacher says to me, oh, you're the preacher, right? I look to my girls because I'm like, somebody's been telling on me here, right? So, you're the preacher. And I'm thinking, well, I haven't heard that term in a long time. That's kind of an older term. Maybe you use it and maybe you don't. I'm like, yeah, okay. So we in a little conversation there. And she's like, well, where are you, Pastor? I said, in Silver Spring. Now, in her mind, she associated Silver Spring with New Hampshire Avenue. I said, Silver Spring, church on Georgia Avenue. She says, all over New Hampshire Avenue, there's all these different churches and temples and mosques and all these things. And if you've been up or down New Hampshire, you know, it's true. And they're building some kind of shrine or new structure all the time for different religious beliefs. She said, but I'm a Christian. Okay, good. You get two thumbs up. You get the gold star for today. You can have an extra piece of candy. I didn't say that. That's just what I'm thinking, right? And she says, but I took my son, I've taken my son to the different temples and places to give him different ideas on how to get to God. Okay, now that's where the whole thing turned left, right? And started going downhill a little bit. But she says, but I'm a Christian. And so that was some interesting conversation. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, it's only Jesus. You know what we're seeing today is too many are intoxicated with themselves. They're intoxicated with man's ideas, pluralistic views, and just there's a religious intoxication today, isn't it? Now, have you ever seen anyone intoxicated? And have you ever seen anyone intoxicated? That just didn't look good. But with alcohol, they're wobbling all over the place, can't walk straight. And today, many are intoxicated with themselves, with their own goodness, intoxicated with their own self-righteousness, their own ideas, and it's an intoxication, isn't it? And yes, I mean intoxicated. Have you ever seen anyone intoxicated? I remember, I would illustrate that for you, but then I'd get in trouble. Yeah, she's pointing at me now, right? So I'll behave myself on that illustration today. But I can remember some time ago, a few years back, in the lobby of a building that required a key for entrance, and then you had to have an elevator key to get up to your floor in that condo building. And I'm watching this from a distance from the entrance, and you know, this person kind of wobbles and stumbles up to the door and pulls out something and stood there, and you know, they're playing, and I'm just watching this with, you know, great curiosity. I don't remember if I helped or not, but here's the bottom line: was they were trying to gain entrance to the exit door with their elevator key. All right, and that's what intoxicated people do, don't they? And see, here's the thing, when you're intoxicated, you can't walk straight, but you can't hear straight. You cannot talk straight. You can't do anything straight. And whether that intoxication is alcohol or religion or drugs or whatever, you're not on the path that you need to be on. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13 says, make straight paths for your feet. You do that. I do that. It's an instruction to us. Make straight paths for your feet. Now, Jesus made it clear in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, but through me. And then a little earlier, we see Jesus promised in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I see a lot of these people with these pluralistic philosophies and mentalities in so much bondage today, because they don't believe in only Jesus. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then he also says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Knowing Jesus sets us free from this pluralistic and religious, as well as any other type of intoxication, doesn't he? Only Jesus does that. Now listen, you and I know that our sins put the force behind the hammer that nailed Christ to the cross. But the greater force of God's Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And this is the very same Spirit we're talking about. The very Spirit that came down on the day of Pentecost. It's the very same Spirit that is poured out upon us to perform with His power within us. We read about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Now let's go on and see a part of Peter's performance of power. We pick up in Acts chapter 2, verse 25. Now he's already quoted Joel from Joel's prophecy in Joel chapter 2. And now Peter's going to go into, of course this is Luke writing, Luke's going to go into things that Peter said that quoted King David. And here we get a messianic feel. So he's just stated God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Verse 25, David said about him, let's talk, him is Jesus here. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, you will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known for me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Now Luke goes back to, well, that was Peter. That was Luke writing about Peter, quoting from David. And now he goes back into Peter's words here. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah. Now remember, this is Peter preaching to these thousands. He spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. What is he doing? He's performing in the power of the Spirit upon him, and he's preaching to these people that are responsible for crucifying Jesus, but God has raised him from the dead. Now we have the second part of the performance of power we pick up in verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, now Peter had never said anything that cut anybody to the heart before. In fact, there was probably a lot of Peter's life always speaking up to say something. They were thinking or saying, Peter, be quiet. Right? Even Jesus had to say to him at one point when Peter thought he was standing up for Jesus, Satan, get behind me. Peter thought he was preserving God's plan. Peter thought he was doing Jesus a favor, and Jesus had to look at him and say, get behind me, Satan. Right? He was a little confused at that point. Had to be set straight, right? So here he is. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. That's us, isn't it? For all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow. Here's someone that has the wind of God, a fresh wind blowing through him. Here is someone preaching that has a fresh fire from heaven burning in his soul, burning in his heart. And he's performing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter couldn't do this on his own. He went from cowering to correcting when he was emboldened by the Holy Spirit. And he did have a wind and he did have a fire from heaven blowing in him and burning in him. I love this statement years ago from the great preacher in the 1800s in England, Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon says, "As the wind, he brings the breath of life to men. Blowing where he listeth, he performs the quickening operations by which the spiritual creation is animated and sustained. As fire, he both purges us from the dross and sets our consecrated nature on ablaze. He is the sacrificial flame by which we are enabled to offer our whole souls as a living sacrifice to God." Powerful quote, isn't it? I'm going to ask you to stand with me today. Told you it's a little shorter message, and I want to give us an opportunity to respond. And for anyone here today, if you're hungry for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you, a fresh wind from heaven to blow over your life, a fresh fire from God to burn in your heart, in your spirit, why not today? If you've been seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, maybe today is your day to be filled. But we're talking about the performance of power. I mentioned earlier, it's not about entertainment or putting on a show. It's about performing the responsibilities of your life, your faith. Are you performing under the power of the Holy Spirit in your home? Some of you have tomorrow off, others will go to work, but whenever you go back to work next, do you go to work? All of the junk and the stuff and the chatter and the beliefs of your co-workers and colleagues, do you just cower in the corner, or do you go to work every day and perform it with the power of the Holy Spirit alive and active in you? You can be a great voice to those around you that are searching, that are in need of God's truth. Maybe it's a physical situation. Maybe it's your faith, and your faith is weak, and you're doubting. Are you performing in the power of the Holy Spirit in your faith as a Christ follower today? Look at the difference in Peter's life. That can be the same difference in your life, in my life, going from doubting or being under circumstances and being filled with the Spirit and emboldened and empowered and now performing in God's power over those circumstances. You see, just like Peter and the apostles, you and I can do today what some of the old-timers used to say. Maybe you've heard this, getting under the spout where the glory comes out, right? Who remembers that one from days gone by? Under the spout where the glory comes out. And just like Peter and the apostles, you and I can have the Holy Spirit poured over us and perform our lives in His power. Amen. The pouring and performance of the Holy Spirit, it's really not about speaking in tongues and signs and wonders. No, those are just the initial physical evidence and the natural byproducts of the power of the Holy Spirit in us. It's about souls. We spoke earlier of personal change. The performance of His Spirit and power is about personal change. The Spirit of Christ is about filling you with His power, then to use you to boldly proclaim and live out His truth. And I want to tell you today, God still loves to fill His house. God still loves to fill His men, His women, His young people with His Spirit and His power so we can live out our lives performing in the power of His Spirit. Where are you today? What need did you bring into this place? Do you need a fresh touch? Do you need a fresh wind from heaven to blow into your life, over your life? Do you need a fresh fire from the altar of God burning in your heart? Maybe you need to receive Christ into your life today for salvation. Today can be your day of salvation. Maybe you've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why not today? God wants to empower you. I want to ask you all over this place, and if you have a personal need, I'm going to invite you. But I know our church, I'm praying, God, fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Because ultimately it's for souls. So it wasn't for the disciples and the apostles. No, it was to embolden them to proclaim the message of Jesus to the lost. So at the end of the day, it's really not about us. And I know this, I know that if there's a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit that comes up on Silver Spring Assembly, both services are going to be packed with standing room only. Maybe we'll have to go to three services. How many people drive by our property every day? How many since we've been in this service that don't know Christ? But if there's a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit where people are being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and healed and restored and set free and empowered, God's going to use you to bring them here. Oh, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Come on, all across this sanctuary, you have a hunger in your heart, your soul. God, I want a fresh wind to blow over my life. I want a fresh fire from heaven to burn in my heart. Come on, just step out right where you are and come and seek God and ask Him. Even as we did earlier, palms up to receive. Lord, I want to receive a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Or God, in my home or my relationships or on the job, I feel like I'm not performing in the power of your Holy Spirit. And I want that power to be a witness for who you are. Come on, is there anyone in the house today? You hunger for a fresh wind, a fresh fire, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You want to live your life emboldened, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone today? Wait on you just a moment. Is there anyone in the house today? God still loves to fill His house. I believe He wants to pour a fresh wind over Silver Spring Assembly. Burn a fresh fire in our midst today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your word today. We thank you that you've given the gift of your Holy Spirit. And as Joel was used to prophesy, it's here now. And as we see this outpouring on the day of Pentecost, and you still make it available to us today. Oh God, let a hunger stir in our hearts. Let a fresh wind blow, a fresh power, a fresh fire of your Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, we pray for the lost souls of people that are all around us today. You want to empower us with your Spirit so you can use us to win the lost. Win the lost. We need to be used of you, Lord, to win lost souls to Jesus. We believe you're coming soon, Lord, and we want to be a part of the harvest, the end time harvest, as much as possible. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Who wants to go in the power of the Spirit today? Anybody? You want to go in His power? Fresh wind, fresh fire. Lord, I pray for every man, every woman, every young person that's in this place today. That we would all go with a fresh wind from heaven blowing over us, fresh fire from heaven burning in us. And Lord, we're living our lives in the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Go in the favor, blessings, and power of His Spirit. Amen. Amen.